Even Neil Warnock could not derail Reading FC's early promotion bid as Veljko Paunovic successfully navigated the choppy waters of the Tees and took home a confident 0-0 draw from the North East. Welcome to episode 237 of the Tireless Stand with your host Mark Mayo as always. And Reading are ticking along nicely, and my guest this week, Alan West. Westy, I think you'd agree.
Yeah, no, ticking along nicely. I said I don't think anyone could be disappointed with a 0-0 result away to Middlesbrough. I think our previous results have been pretty poor, so we can look at this as a massive positive, I think.
Yeah, we'll get stuck into that game in just a bit. We'll also have the mailbag and the news bites keeping you on top of all that's going on around Reading with a second transfer deadline day in the past week. And just before we do that, I'll just give a shout out to our sponsors, as always, ZCZ Films. Massive thanks to them for keeping on with us during a particularly difficult time. So if anyone in the media and the film industry wants a person to get in touch with, ZCZ Films, absolutely the place to go. And also to our Patreon subscribers who continue to give generously at this difficult time. Let's jump in then to a 0-0 draw in the North East.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
So, Westy, as you alluded to there, Reading, not usually very good at Middlesbrough, a run of seven straight defeats was ended with this 0-0 draw. That was the joint longest run of defeats against any side in the Football League that Reading have suffered, so good to get that one out of the way. And I'd generally say that it's a good litmus test of any Championship side going to the Riverside, especially against the Neil Warnock team, to go and get a result there. You've generally got to be a pretty decent team to do that.
Yeah, I think you have. And like I said, Neil Warnock has got his gauge of Reading over the years. And I think if he doesn't know how Reading play, then nobody does. So I think he really, the biggest compliment I could say on the day was that he tried to nullify our threat. And they did that pretty well. But to be fair, I was always confident that we weren't going to lose. Neither goalkeeper had a lot to do on the day. And I think that really it was a testament to Middlesbrough really for stopping Reading, catching them on the break. And that's what they done, and it ended up being 0-0. But I was fairly confident that we wasn't going to lose that game. And it just goes to show you how far we've come, because last year and over the last seven occasions, we've gone there and got beat. So good result for Reading, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a game with Reading going into it. It was cautious optimism, wasn't it? Because you really don't want to start getting ahead of yourself and thinking, oh, we've got to win these games. We've got to go to Middlesbrough. I mean, realistically, we're talking a mid-table-ish sort of team this year with ambitions of breaking into the playoffs. But Reading have started well. Even so, you don't want to go there thinking we have to win. We have to win. It's a long, old season. And, you know, how the game panned out as well, Reading dominated possession, which we haven't really seen this season so far. Do you think that was because Boa kind of let us, or is this a game plan that Paunovic had gone with?
Yeah, no, I think they let us, to be fair. I think if you looked at when Reading were trying to play out from the back, they didn't really pressure Reading in defence, where a lot of teams have done. And I think Warnock was aware of the threat that comes with the players that we've got in forward positions, and the fact that even last year our away record was pretty good normally, because it suits us to play counter-attacking football. And I think what he'd done is stopped us playing counter-attacking football, but let us have the ball. He sat and watched the game. We didn't really hurt them. We had a couple of decent efforts from outside the box. So I just think as the way Middlesbrough was set out to play us, and that was to stop us counter-attacking them. And they'd largely done that, and all credit to them, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Reading, eight of our 10 shots came in the first half, which really sets up the game. You know, you can see how that unfolded. And there was a moment as well in the second half when Alpha Semedo was brought on for his debut for Lucas Shaw, which you could say is a bit of a negative substitution, really. But the fact of the matter is that you've got to decide, are we going to go for it? Are we going to go and try and get a winner? Or are we going to settle for the point? And Paunovic, I guess we could say, did settle for the point, really, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that they were better in the second half, Middlesbrough. And I think, Moore made a block on the line, and they were a bit more of a threat, and they scored a goal that they said was onside. But from the camera angle, you can't really see if he was or he wasn't. To be fair, he probably looked like he wasn't, but it went our way on that occasion. So I think he maybe thought, you know what, they're a bit more threat in the second half. Let's just shut up shop to a certain extent. And just hold out for the draw. And I think, you know, if you're getting points away from home, you're going to be happy with that, as long as you go into the next couple of games at home and win them. And I think hopefully one day, or back end of this season anyway, we're going to look back and think, actually, it was not a bad result, really. Because Middlesbrough, and again, it's a bit of a cliche, they're pretty tough to beat at home in general, especially with Warnock there now. He will make Middlesbrough difficult to beat. And that's just what he'd done. And they was hoping to nick a goal, which they nearly did. But that's Championship football. It can go either way. And I just think that on the day, it was probably a fair result. But I was pretty confident that Reading weren't losing that game. And we did dominate largely in the first half. It's just, again, there's a 0-0 draw, and it's not an awful lot to mull over. But I think from looking at the players that come on the pitch as well, everyone got a decent run. I think we've got another couple of gears to give from what I've seen so far this season. So, yeah, 0-0 away home. I can't complain about that. I know some people mentioned Tom Holmes' performance. I don't know if you've got it down to speak about, but someone said he had an excellent game. Now, I wasn't surprised he started, because I thought he'd done well in the last game. I don't know what your thoughts were, Mark, but I thought he was good defensively. What he gives you, he gives you that aerial threat as well, doesn't he? Because it makes our back four quite a big back four, with a tall right back, which normally they're quite short. But his crossing, I thought, let him down. I thought it really got into good positions to make decent crosses, which, on another day could have been a whole lot better. So that's for him to work on. But again, he's come to the side, and he's been pretty good, I think, so far.
Well, it's funny you say that. The next line of my plan is, it reads, Holmes keeping Estevez out at right back, Aluko dropped, problems, question mark. And really, I suppose, with Holmes, he's got that naivety of youth about him, hasn't he, as a right back. He's obviously a centre back by trade. And as you say, when he gets into those deeper positions up the pitch, it does kind of show, doesn't it, with his with his end product. But as a centre back who's finally been unleashed, as it were, being put to right back, he actually has got a bombing forward on him. And we saw that against Watford as well, which actually led to the goal we scored. So do you think he's going to stay in for the team next week? Because Estevez, he's only 18, and it's a big ask, even if he is a cliche, highly rated across Europe player. It's a big ask to drop him in, even against a Wickham team that are a bit more wily than you'd imagine a Porto 18-year-old are going to be.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I would have thought that he's an all-round good footballer, but will that lack of height and sort of power we have extra with Holmes in a team cost us to a certain extent against certain sides? So it's a tricky one. I think he hasn't done anything wrong to be dropped. And just looking at Aluku there as well, you just mentioned, I didn't think Aluku done a lot to get dropped either. But the players that they're bringing in, would you say they're better players? You think, well, they are. Jarry's a better player, isn't he? So I think Puskas could probably be a little bit upset about being dropped as well, because I thought he had probably one of his better games in the Reading shirt last time we see him. But then the excuse was that he'd been on international duty and he'd been sort of three different countries, I think. So you had the opportunity to drop him, and Jarry's, in my opinion, a much better footballer anyway. It's a tough one for the manager, but it's nice to have these problems, isn't it? If we was looking at him being straight in and there's no other players to take their place, then we would be complaining about that. So I think it's good there's that intensity and that pushing each other. You just hope that if people do put in good performances, they know that they get to stay in the starting lineup, because otherwise, where's the motivation for playing really well and then getting dropped next week? It's a tough one for the manager, but hopefully, as long as you're winning, you can get away with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's such a fine balance, because if Aluko, he might come in for on Tuesday night, but if he plays well again and gets dropped again, it does start to be a case of, well, what's the point necessarily? But, Reading are unbeaten so far this season. We've got the Wickham game to talk about later. So let's hear what Veljko Paunović said after the Middlesbrough game, and then we'll jump into what is admittedly a bit of a thin mailbag this week.
Yeah, everyone plays the role in defence. Everyone works hard. Everyone puts the team on top of everything. And obviously, when that job is done, everyone does is put his own talents and qualities. So this is what we were looking for, and this is actually a good point on the road. We are never happy with just one point when we don't win, but we have to also acknowledge that we had a very tough opponent who tried their best too. And as I said, now moving forward, next game, very important to prepare and recover from the wounds, if any, and from the hustle we had today.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.
Okay, so amazingly, Westy, as we've said, a 0-0 draw does not generate a huge amount of debate. No. But Alistair has tweeted us in saying, do Reading need to create more chances? Because this feels like Nottingham Forest last season. Good defensively and hit people on the break. But I do wonder if we need more wing play to put that into practice. Elise and Ajari are naturally cut in. Do we need the wing backs to bomb on as well? And I think this is kind of the underlining worry, I suppose, at the moment. When you've only conceded one goal all season, you don't need to score that many, really. But Reading teams of, you know, past years have had these little good runs, and then they tend to get worked out. And they tend to get worked out because teams know that we're not actually capable of scoring, you know, 4 or 5 goals a game. We're generally, I think we've only scored 3 goals as our absolute best in the last few seasons. So is that something that we do need to work on? Because, you know, Neil Warnock worked out just to sit in and let us have the ball, and we didn't really create too many chances. Is that just going to become the theme for all of our Championship games now?
Well, maybe. It might well do. Like I said, though, but with a better quality into the box, we probably could have had a few more goals from wide areas. You know, we talked about Tom Holmes earlier. He had 2 or 3 decent opportunities to put a ball into the box, and he didn't. And ultimately, that costs you, because if you're not creating chances for Jao, he's not going to score many goals. Also, I always think that when you've got Rinomota and Laurent there in midfield, if Jao gets slightly isolated, then you need to get them players into the box a lot quicker. And they tend to sit, don't they, the pair of them. So maybe they need to push on a little bit sometimes, especially when we're on the attack. We've got 2 wingers, or in Ajari and Elise, that are very similar players in the way that they're good at dribbling the ball and sometimes don't release the ball quick enough. And I noticed that a little bit again this Saturday. I think really we've got a lot of young players that are still learning their game that will continue to improve. And hopefully that improvement will come throughout the season. And just releasing the ball a bit quicker would create better opportunities for Reading, I think.
Yeah, it kind of feels for me like that divide between, you know, the playing on the PlayStation and the actual football. Because if you play on the PlayStation, you think, oh, that's easy. You just make him put the ball in quicker. Or that's easy. I'll just make Rinomota run into the box. But in a real game with things going on, it's a million miles different. And with Rinomota as well, that is the sort of, you know, it's plain to see that he's very good at as a box-to-box midfielder. But is, you know, maybe the manager's in his ear saying, if you keep running into the box, they're going to notice, they're going to catch us out, we're going to concede goals. And maybe Paunovic is actually a defence-first manager. Maybe that is just the way that he wants to be, and the attack is something that he'll work out afterwards.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's just relying on the fact that you've got 3 players up there that are quite tricky to deal with on their day. I mean, all 3 of them really are really good at running with a ball. And maybe he's hoping that they can create a lot of chances for themselves anyway. And it's better to stay pragmatic at the back and not concede any goals, which I think we've got the best defensive record in the country at the moment. As long as you're not conceding, you don't lose, as the old cliche goes. And maybe just hoping to nick goals, a little bit like when Kermigan was up front during Stam's time here. Again, that year we didn't create a great deal of chances, but when we did, we had a player up front that could take them and didn't need that many chances. So hopefully we've got that again. It doesn't matter how many chances you create, really. It just matters how many times you put the ball in the net. So if you're creating 3 and scoring 1, then I think we'll be pretty happy with it.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing I would say is that in terms of goals from open play, I'm just counting through in, you know, generally speaking this season, I think we've only had about 4, and one of those was a relatively fortunate Puskás goal. So it is something that we'll have to keep an eye on. But to be honest, I'm not too worried. I think it is that thing of defences win championships, goals win your games. And if we do have a season where we draw 10 games, 0-0, then I'm not too bothered, to be honest, because as long as we win the other ones, then we get promoted, don't we?
No, that's right. And like I say, the players we've got up front will nick you goals because they're tricky and they're difficult to deal with. And they're unlike, I've seen a few of the championship sides now, they're unlike a lot of other championship sides where you've got those young, tricky runners up front. And I think that should pay dividends for us over the course of the season.
Yeah, a lot of other championship teams, really, their young players tend to be more energetic and box-to-boxy sort of players, which it's a contrast that hopefully we can come out best on. We'll move on then into news bites. As I said, a bit of a thin mailbag, but there's plenty to discuss in news bites because we've had a transfer deadline day that Reading decided not really to act on. So we'll talk about that now.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
So let's do transfers then. Westy and the lack of, I think, transfer deadline day, only Sam Smith, the young striker, went out on loan to Tranmere. And we didn't, well, there was minor talk of things happening, but really with the domestic window, you know, having an extra week, there weren't any real names that came up. And the squad, as you know, we've chosen, I suppose, just to keep the squad as it is. Is this is that a worry for you, or is this ultimately just keeping on the straight and narrow?
I think it's a worry if we have a sudden injury problem, because the squad isn't massive this year. But then last year we had a massive squad and we had hardly any quality in it. So it depends what you want, really. What has surprised me more than anything is the amount of good players that are available that are not got clubs at the moment. You know, a lot of players that are still in their 20s and don't seem to be able to get a club. Jordan Abita, again, I think he's a very good left back, and he's still sat waiting for a club to take him, probably because he's had a lot of injuries over the last 2 or 3 years. But when he came back last year, it didn't seem to have hampered him that much. So was it a worry for me? I think it was a worry that we didn't get the players that we obviously tried to get, and that probably comes down to some financial situation, I'm guessing, but it's only a guess because nobody's actually confirmed that. There was a couple of good players we went for and we didn't get them, which is a concern, but there's enough quality in that side, and we've seen that over the first 4 or 5 games that we're all right as long as we can keep everyone fit, which over the course of 46 games is not very likely, is it? No. Only time will tell.
No, it's, the thing is, the difference for me is, of compared to, you know, the last whatever years, is that Reading's, you know, if you scratch below the surface this year, you've got players like Dejan Tetek, who's been on the bench, Nelson Abbey, the defender, Ethan Bristow's basically our second left back now. Unlike other years, these are proper rookies. We have these guys aren't, you know, they have not been in and around the team the last couple of years, now finally making a chance after 5 or 10 sub appearances. These guys have never really played in the Championship before. And that is a little bit of a worry, isn't it? Because we've had it before when, you know, let's talk about when Hal Robson-Kanu, Jem Karashan, those were coming through. They'd had loan spells away. They'd been in and around the team for a couple of years, and then they were the sort of backups after that. But these guys are, yeah, total rookies.
Yeah, they are. But from what I've seen of them so far, they've more than coped with the first few games of the Championship when we've seen them. It could be an added bonus. You know, it could be a massive bonus, really, in the fact that the academy has been, it's been a good servant to us down the last 10 years or 15 years or so. And it looks like it's going to be that way again. And I think if we remember back a bit further, and go back to McGee's time, they had a sudden influx of young lads come through, which ultimately ended up and finished second in the league, you know. So it can be done with youngsters. We don't want to have to rely on them, but they certainly look like they can fill in, which is a massive bonus for the manager.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got young players who have been brought in as well. Alvar Semedo, who made his debut on the weekend. He's 23. Obviously, Thomas Estevez in his teens still. Lewis Gibson, it's an interesting one with Lewis Gibson, isn't it? Because we signed him, and Everton fans, or one Everton supporting mate, has told me he's going to be a very good player. He's 20 years old, decent in League One for a little bit last season. And it's interesting that we've not played him purely off the basis of that. We have made him wait, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, but I think you need those two experienced centre-backs to play every week or whenever they're available, just because we have got such a young side. It's important to, and they've been excellent this year so far, the pair of them. People talk about Moore last year. Was he good enough? Should we get rid of him? But I think you see on Saturday, he's back to what I would say was his best, putting his body on the line, getting in the way, and actually looks like he's enjoying defending again. I think you need them two to play. It's time to come. He will get chances this year. There's no way them two will go all season without getting injured. Morrison probably more likely than Moore. But he gets chances. And then when he does, if he's good enough, then he'll stay in the team. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, no, I think it is that case of having to wait on. And in a way, I feel kind of bad for Tom McIntyre. Well, not so much for Tom Holmes. He's had his chance at right back. For McIntyre, who looked to be that kind of next man up, as it were, if there was an injury, but now seems to be dropped behind into fourth, maybe even fifth choice. But I suppose that's the difference between being a club that wants to finish 12th and build, or a club that wants to be in the playoffs this year and actually win promotion. You have to make those tough calls every now and again.
Yeah, you just hope with McIntyre that he doesn't go the same way that Cooper went, where he got a good run of games. We sort of looked at him as our future centre-back, and then few people came in and he got pushed down a pecking order and ended up disappearing. I hope that doesn't happen because I think McIntyre is the future of that club. And I think one day, hopefully, he will go on to be the captain of the side. So, again, he's still young, still learning, and just hope he doesn't get too disappointed that he's been pushed down a pecking order.
Yeah, well, there is the thing is, as we talk about the deadline day just happening last week, there's another transfer window opening in 2.5 months. So there's not much time before we have to think about these things again. And it would certainly be a case where if he doesn't get a game in the next 2.5 months, him going out on loan and Reading doing well, it's not a terrible scenario to find yourself in. So there is that. One, the only other thing I would say before we move on then is that... I think in terms of why we didn't sign players, it sounds to me like you hear these reports of, you know, the Premier League youngsters being sent on loan and everything. It sounds like a lot of Premier League clubs want to have guarantees on playing time and everything like that when they do move out. And Reading just can't give them. You look at Lewis Gibson, he's a player who's come in and he's going to have to wait his turn. Alfa Semedo and Tomas Esteves haven't just walked into the team as well. I'm absolutely fine with that being the case. So that may have been in the way, as it were, for bringing in some loan players. Let's look at the other teams around Reading FC just before we go into the big match preview. The women's team, they won 4-0 in the Conti Cup over Charlton while we were away, and also lost 1-0 in the Super League to Birmingham. However, they took a good point against Man City on Sunday, Emily Aikland scoring in a 1-1 draw. They've got West Ham in the Conti Cup on Wednesday before Tottenham in the WSL. Under-23s, they beat Leeds 3-2 with Sam Smith just before he went out on loan scoring. Melvin Lambert and East also on the score sheet. Two wins and a draw in their last three now after a bit of a dodgy start to the season. They take on Stoke, who have not started well, on the 26th. Under-18s as well, they were beaten by Chelsea 5-2 and have Spurs on the weekend. So, Reading, the senior men's team, have plenty of games coming thick and fast. And we've got two games that, well, you hate to say it, but probably should be winning in the next few days. So let's go and talk about those now.
There's another huge game ahead for the Royals. So be loud and be proud for the big match preview.
This is one more thing I wanted to mention, Mark, before we move on. And that was the passing of a Reading legend, really, Dougie Webb. A lot of the younger fans won't know who he was. He's the father of Neil Webb, who made England appearances and played for Manchester United. But he also made 200 appearances for Reading, scored 93 goals, which is some record. And I think we'd love to have a player scoring that amount of goals now. On a personal note, I knew him pretty well. I used to see him on his walks around Tylehurst pretty much every day with his wife. And I was lucky enough to spend a week with him when I was on a work experience just before leaving school. And he was a lovely man, so I wanted to sort of send my regards to him and his family. It's a sad time for them. And he was a lovely man. It's such a shame that he's not with us anymore.
No, absolutely. We'll echo that those sentiments. It is a sad thing as well with Reading as a club to lose a former member of the team and a former great, and to actually have that family connection in it as well. Is something that, you know, you can't take for granted, because you get a lot of players who come through these days who actually are sons of previous players and everything, which is always a nice sort of lineage, isn't it?
Do you know what he said to me once, Mark, funny enough, when I was working experience with him, he's telling me about his days as an apprentice at Reading. And he said, it's not like it is now. He said, what we used to have to do in the summer is they used to give us pots of paint and cement, and we used to go and do jobs around the grounds. He said, we always forever painting the steps or painting the barriers at Elm Park. And he said, that was our summer's work. And I said to him, you wouldn't see a player doing that now. And he said, no. He said, I don't know if it's better or worse. He goes, but I'm sure I'd like to have earned their money. So
I'm sure he's right. No, I'm sure the scraping of the senior players' boots, I'm not even sure if they do that anymore now.
No, I don't think they do that anymore now.
No, thanks for mentioning that. It is absolutely something that the Tylehurst End would like to send our condolences out as well. As Dougie Webb passes, and anyone with their own memories of the man would love to send them into the usual places, tylehurstend@gmail.com and on the Facebook and Twitter. And that is where you can keep in touch with what is going on this week. And Westy, it's so difficult saying now, because it just feels like we're tempting fate in the worst ways when Reading's two games coming up this week: Wickham on the Tuesday night, 8 p.m. kickoff, And then we have Rotherham at Saturday, 3 p.m, both at the Madstad. Both games, newly promoted teams, Reading doing well. Easy 6 points.
Well, you'd have thought so, wouldn't you? But being a Reading fan for quite a long time now, I've seen this happen before, this scenario. Maybe just hope that the players don't get complacent, because let's face it, on paper and what we've seen so far, they should be good enough to win both games. But I'm sure Wickham and Rotherham are not going to come and give them easy matches. So, yeah, we should win them both. But Championship football can go either way. And I watched the highlights of the Wickham game on Sunday morning, and I still don't know to this day how their goal that they scored from a corner was disallowed. And I don't think the manager did either. And you just hope that if decisions have been going they're not their way, that they might start turning the other way pretty soon. So that's all I can think. But we should have enough not to get beaten either match, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah, Wickham currently, they're 23rd because obviously Sheffield Wednesday had their points deduction. But one goal, which was an absolute gift, which Millwall gave to them on the weekend, 0 points. 12 conceded, which is three more than the next worst team. Or next best, you could say, in the Championship. And also, I don't know if you saw the highlights, but they did have a moment that I feel like if this moment had gone in, it really would have summed up the sort of craziness of the times. But Jake Cooper, standing over a free kick from the halfway line for Millwall, pinged it, thinks seeing the goalkeeper off his line, and hit the crossbar. And actually, the goalkeeper falling back broke the net, and it gave them about a 10-minute stoppage time period. And it did feel like the concept of Jake Cooper scoring from the halfway line, even that's too mad to happen even in these times.
It was good vision, to be fair, from him. He was unlucky not to score. But that, I don't know if you see their goal that's disallowed, Mark, but that was, wow, how that was disallowed, I still can't figure out.
Well, those are the sort of things that happen when you're down there, isn't it? It's the sort of, it really is. I think it was it's Nottingham Forest, actually. They won on the weekend with like a last-minute goal, complete dirty deflection, and took it in. I thought the last manager didn't get that. It's the sort of thing that you really only get. You only get those moments go against you or go for you in certain scenarios. And hopefully, you know, Reading might be able to claim it in that scenario. In reality, if we do, you know, draw one of these games or lose one of them, how much of a disaster are we talking? Is it going to be a really big test if we lose against Wickham to then turn around against Rotherham and get another win after that?
Yeah, I think if we was to lose either of them games, we'd be considering it a wake-up call, wouldn't we, to the fact you can't take your foot off the gas in this division, that we already know. But I think Reading should have too much for both sides, really, and we should, as a minimum, you'd be disappointed if they didn't get 4 points out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's do some predictions then. The weekend, I was very pleased to pick up 3 points off of my 0-0 prediction for Middlesbrough. So I've now jumped up to second place on 4 points. Handbags is still top on 6. Westie, you went draw as well. You had 2-2. So you're now third on 2 points, with Sim and Ollie behind on a point. So nudging forward we are this year. It's been wow. Reading doing well. Scoring. It's shown us as being pretty bad at predicting it.
Yeah, it seems that way. I think that runs most seasons, to be fair. There's always one sort of standout and the rest of us sort of straggling behind. Let's go for a few results then. I'm going to say we will beat Wickham 2-0 and we will beat Rotherham 1-0.
Yeah, that certainly seems to fit. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win against Wickham as well, because of, you know, everything we just discussed. For all the early prediction from this point, obviously, Westy, if you want to text me in a different one. I know you texted me 2 predictions the other day in case Lucas started against Watford or not. So if you do want to change it. But for now, I'll probably say that Rotherham is going to be a bit more of a goal fest. I'm going to go 3-1 for Rotherham.
Well, let's hope you're right then.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I mean, I celebrated 3 years of hosting the show earlier this week. And I say celebrated, it was a bit of a weird remembrance, because it didn't feel like 3 years, to be honest, because it feels like for 3 years I've been sat here talking about finishing 17th.
Yeah, and unfortunately for you it has been. I mean, I was luckier that when I started it back in the day that I'd probably done 9 seasons, so we had plenty to talk about over that course of that time. And then obviously I've been sort of on it ever since, either when you've done it or when Wim done it beforehand. But yeah, it does seem that way, and it seems that the last 3 seasons sort of rolled into one. And hopefully, mate, you can get a decent championship season under your belt on this one.
Well, yeah, it'd be nice as well. And it'd be nice, you occasionally, you know, you get called up by, like, you've been on TalkSport, and I remember we got a mention on BT Sport a few seasons ago and stuff like that. And you do hope that whenever day I do decide to move it on and give it up, I do hope that that's not going to be the season that we go and win the Premier League and have all these fun opportunities come up, because that would be the ultimate salt.
You know, the weirdest thing that happened to me when I was hosting it was I ended up being on Danish TV. I don't know if you remember this, but McDermott just been sacked, and Johnny Fordham rung me up and he said, oh, they want someone to do an interview down at the Medeiros Stadium. And I said, right. He said, yeah, just wear your top and, like, be a fan, basically. I said, yeah, fine. Mm-hmm. So I pulled up there, and there was these two guys one with a camera and one with a microphone, Danish, obviously. And it was snowing, and I was stood outside the stadium. I think it was a Tuesday afternoon. No match. There's nothing going on. It was just me, these two guys. It was snowing and freezing. I stood there with a Reading top on, and they asked me, did I think that it was the right thing to happen? And I basically said yes, and went on one of my usual monologues. And that was it. And I got back in the car and went out, and I thought, well, that was strange. That would never happen in a million years normally. But there you go, I was there. So it was good. I enjoyed that one.
Presumably some people in Denmark watched that as well. So.
I guess they did. I never found it. I would never see it ever again, I don't expect. But I thought, well, I don't know if that was a waste of my time or not. But yeah, so I assumed it was on Danish TV. Might well have not even gone out.
Yeah, I love the idea that I hope the Danes hadn't flown in especially for that. On,
you know. The other strange thing that happened to me when I was presenting the show is when I had to go and write a song with Daniel Johnson at the stadium over a couple of days, me and Jason Treby. And Daniel Johnson from the X Factor, we wrote a song for Reading FC. It was terrible, to be fair. I never see the light of day, but he was going to sing it on the pitch against West Ham. And I thought, please let this happen. He will get pelters. But it didn't end up happening.
Well, look, I mean, this football club doesn't have, particularly recently, I would make clear that the great history we have with songs when our Thai owners decided to broadcast, was it We Are the Royal, I can't remember what even it was called.
To be fair, in comparison, that song was pretty good.
That was an actual song.
I was so looking forward to getting on that pitch in the full house, having to sing that song to where the West Ham fans are. I thought, oh my God, you're a braver man than me.
Yeah, that seems like something you'd send someone to do on a stag do.
Yeah, it was. I was really looking forward to it, but it never happened in the end, unfortunately.
Well, I feel like we've padded out this show long enough for a 0-0 draw. So I think we'll leave it there. Thanks, as ever, Wesley, for popping on.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And, yeah, we'll be back Sunday night, Monday of next week after we've got a proper busy period of fixtures now coming up. So we'll try and fit in ourselves in around it. Obviously Wickham and Rotherham coming up, and we'll be after the Rotherham game, we'll be back. Then we have Blackburn and Coventry for sort of back-to-back games, and then we've got another midweek game after that against Preston. So we'll try and fit ourselves in and make it as convenient as possible to listen to before it becomes out of date with the next game. And as ever, it is a massive pleasure to have people listening to this show and continuing to do so, and hopefully we're on the course for some good news and more of that this week with these two games against Wickham and Rotherham. Thank you very much for listening, and come on, you Arse.